This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora Brasil, o programa de rádio comunitária em Hamilton, na Nova Zelândia, para brasileiros ao redor do mundo. Kia ora New Zealand, kia ora Brasil, kia ora mundo! No programa anterior, estávamos falando com o querido casal, Tânia e Stephen, que são a dupla super dinâmica da questão de vistos e imigração. E vamos continuar então, porque ainda tem bastante coisa para eles contarem para a gente e trocar essa figurinha, tá bom?
There are basically two levels of investment. There is $5 million, which can be invested for 3 years in what's called growth investments, which tend to be like private equity or managed funds. And then there's alternatively $10 million that can be invested for up to 5 years in what's called balanced investments, which tend to be more conservative, like bonds and listed equities. So the intention of this is to encourage investors to come to New Zealand to bring their capital and their expertise to New Zealand and to inject their capital and expertise into the New Zealand economy. And for that, we give them and their families a resident visa. And perhaps the most important thing for Brazilians, who may not necessarily be good speakers of English, there is no English language requirement for the principal applicant. So this is one of the few visa categories where you can come to New Zealand, you can get a resident visa, and there's no English language requirement, nor is there an age restriction. Most resident visas, you cannot get a resident visa after the age of 56. With the golden visa, you can get it when you're 76 if you want to. So this provides a great opportunity for intergenerational migration of a family, a plan B to have the option to live in a secure, well-organized, low-corrupt country like New Zealand, in case things don't work out so well in your home country. You don't have to spend a lot of time in New Zealand. The $5 million growth investors have to spend 21 days over 3 years, and the $10 million balanced investors have to spend 105 days over a five-year period. So it's not a big commitment in time. But if you do decide to come to New Zealand and you do decide to live here permanently, 5 years after you get your resident visa, you can apply for citizenship, which then also opens up the door to you and your family being able to live and work in Australia. So, there are some real benefits that flow from this. It's an opportunity for families who may be concerned about particularly the personal safety of them and their families. We know Brazilians spend an enormous amount of money on armored vehicles, blindagem, I think they call it in Portuguese. Well, as an alternative to armoring your life, this is a way that you can actually have freedom. Your children can walk to school without the fear of abduction or any other problems, and you could live a very, very safe and secure life. It provides them a great platform to then go out and explore other parts of the world when they become adults.
Mas, falando nisso, Maia, outro dia eu fiz post que eu falei assim, luxo não é levar o seu filho para a escola de carro blindado, é deixar seu filho andando sozinho para a escola, uma coisa assim mais ou menos, né? E aí com uma foto de umas crianças assim de costas saindo da Parnell Primary, aqui na esquina da nossa casa. E a gente falando com um amigo essa semana no Brasil também, né, que tem carro blindado. Então, por exemplo, o dinheiro que você iria investir num carro blindado, você paga um mestrado aqui na Nova Zelândia e tem o caminho para a residência. E seus filhos vão andando a pé para a escola.
Pois é. Which, by the way, Stephen... They just changed the regulation. So now a person who does master has automatically 6 points and they can apply for the residence visa,
yes,
right?
Yeah, that's right. That's a big benefit. And that will happen. It actually hasn't happened yet. It will happen at the end of August. The government's announced that it will happen. And so from that point onwards, if you require 6 points for skilled migrant residency. If you graduate with a master's, you'll immediately have those 6 points. All you'll need to is get an offer of skilled employment. You don't even have to start the job, you just need the offer and a skilled occupation, and then you can immediately apply for residence. So, if you think about this as a timeline, somebody who comes to New Zealand to study, let's say, an 18-month or 3-semester master's course, it's conceivable that within 2 years they and their families could be residents in New Zealand.
Não, nós temos um caso, inclusive a Michelle e o René, foi o que aconteceu com eles, né? O René veio e fez um mestrado de 1 ano e meio na AUT, ele é engenheiro. Ele se formou em julho, em junho ele já estava trabalhando, já estava trabalhando part-time, né, como estudante, já conseguiu uma oferta de trabalho. Quando o Steve aplicou o Post-Study Work Visa dele de 3 anos, assim que saiu o Post-Study Work Visa, já aplicou para residência. Em 6 meses saiu a residência. Então foi assim, recorde.
Also, what sometimes happens is the couple, the partners actually switch roles, if you like. So we've got an example recently of an American family who she came to New Zealand to study a master's degree.
Nancy.
She was about two-thirds of the way through that master's degree when her husband got a really good job offer here in New Zealand, which immediately made him eligible for residence, and they applied for and got residence based on the husband's qualifications back in the United States and his job offer, and they were residents before she even graduated. In fact, I think she's still studying, isn't she?
No, she
She's finished
finished.
now.
Yeah.
So quite often what happens is the partners can switch. You don't have to wait for the student partner to get to residency. Sometimes the other partner can get a good job, has the qualifications necessary, and can get the residence beforehand.
I think a question is also for those who have already finished their studies. Is it still applicable as well? Are they eligible to apply
Yes,
for the residence visa?
if you've already qualified, for example, with the New Zealand Masters, from the end of August onwards, you will have 6 points. So you don't have to, it can be a qualification. The only requirement is that you have to have a bachelor's degree as an undergraduate qualification, either from a New Zealand university or an offshore university. So, but if you have an undergraduate qualification, like a bachelor's degree, and you have
É
a
master's.
master's in New Zealand, you get 6 points.
Porque às vezes, principalmente no Brasil, você sabe que o pessoal faz aqueles tecnólogos, né? E aí eles fazem uma pós e fazem até um MBA, mas eles não têm um bacharel. Então, isso é muito comum no Brasil. Aí, então, a pessoa tem que necessariamente ter um bacharel e um mestrado.
So, for the people in that situation, they will still get the 5 points, and then they have to work for a year in skilled employment to get the remaining 1 point that they need. So, it doesn't stop them from getting to residency, it just takes a wee bit longer.
I see. But what about people who did the masters before that, or they have done overseas?
An overseas master's will, st if it's assessed by the New Zealand Qualifications Authority as being equivalent to a master's qualification in New Zealand, that will still qualify for 5 points. So they would need to then have a year of work experience in skilled employment in New Zealand to make up the remaining point. So that's fine. And they don't need to necessarily have an undergraduate bachelor degree, they could have a technical qualification. Or maybe have been admitted to their master's by special admission, which sometimes happens for people with a lot of work experience.
Steve, a partner who comes, say, the husband is doing the master's, and then the wife wants to make some income, but it's like she doesn't speak English well, blah, blah, blah. So, oh, I'm gonna be an Uber driver. Can they be?
Yes, you're allowed to be. On an open partnership visa, you can be self-employed. And so Uber driving is absolutely fine.
But not the student itself, right?
No, the student can also drive Uber. It's really, the restrictions exist around what's called the accredited employer work visa, which is a different category of visa where it's tied to an employer. You can't drive for Uber if you are also working as a chef, for example, for a restaurant.
Okay, so a person that comes in a master's degree, they can also drive Uber.
Yeah, they can.
Because some time ago there was a controversy
It
around
was,
that.
and it's been clarified quite recently.
Is it?
Yeah,
What was the
it's been a
controversy?
gray, to be honest, it's been a gray area, and Immigration New Zealand in the last month or so just cleared that up. So there are still some categories of work visa where that's not possible, but for the open work rights on student visas and for the open partnership visas, you can be self-employed or you can work for any employer.
É a mesma coisa, Maia. Por exemplo, né, as pessoas que trabalham como cleaner, tá? Eles não. Eu já tive vários meninos estudantes, né, de cleaner, e isso é bem comum aqui, como você sabe. Então, é o mesmo caso, trabalhar como cleaner ou trabalhar como Uber, você está sendo self-employed, né? Eu não
But
tenho
I think there was something changed in the regulation as well regarding, like, you can be self-employed, but you cannot employ someone,
Ah,
right?
yes,
that's
definitely
true.
not. Definitely not. No. And you can't be in a situation where you actually become your own employer, if that makes sense. So if you're an accredited, it creates problems. And I get this question from time to time, where with the accredited employer work visa, where people ask if they can hold shareholdings in the company that employs them, that can create an issue.
Okay. So say, for example, I do have a little bit of savings and I want to open a company and
Well,
make it.
you can't employ yourself, and then on an accredited employer work visa. So that would just be not a starter. But the more common situation is that the owner of the business says, "Hey, if you put $10,000 in, I'll give you a 15% share in the business," and that creates potential problems.
Okay.
Mas,
One.
Steve, you can open, for example, you can open a company, for example, if you want to open,
Well, no, the issue with opening a
but you're
company,
not going to be a credit, of course, you're
no,
going just to have a
yeah,
company.
no, the issue with opening a company is that company law in New Zealand requires you need to have a New Zealand director, New Zealand citizen or resident director. So, yes, you can, if you partner with somebody who is a New Zealand citizen or resident, you can open a company. And if you're on an open work visa, you can work for that company and the company can pay you a wage or salary or whatever. And that's fine. But if you're on an accredited employer work visa, that's not fine.
Okay,
But you
understood.
can't open the company if you are not in partnership with a New Zealand citizen or resident. And that's not immigration law, that's company law.
Another thing that I noticed is that we have been a trend of finally, or we had the regulation of the digital nomads that
Yes.
can come to New Zealand, but it also depends on what exactly they do. Right. So if it is, say, for example, a person who has an OnlyFans account, they cannot, or can they? Is it a gray zone?
Interesting that one. To be honest, I'm not sure, because one of the things that you're not allowed to do on any visa, temporary visa, is provide adult sexual services. Now, whether that extends to OnlyFans or not, I don't know, to be honest. I hadn't really thought of that. Certainly, if you come here and you're working as a an IT person, for example, for an employer overseas, that's fine. And that's exactly what the digital nomad provision and immigration instructions is designed to accommodate. I never had ne It had never occurred to me to think about OnlyFans.
Yeah, because it really
Didn't
depends on
know
what
I
they're
could do.
doing.
Sorry?
Because it really depends on what they're doing in the.
Yeah, it does. You have to, if you want a real answer to that, you're going to have to let me go away and have a look at it.
Oh God, imagine Tanya, a client comes and tries to hire Stephen's service for this kind of evaluation. Then he will say, oh Tanya, I have to watch the channel to see.
Yeah, Tanya just said to me, you didn't hear that. She said, I don't even know what OnlyFans is.
Fast. What is this?
It's basically people promoting themselves in the, on a pornographic website.
Oh, see, living and learning. Like cam
Yeah, she's
girls.
Tanya is a very sheltered flower.
Very naive. Good. Keep that. Keep that. What else has been happening lately for like a skilled migrants and etc.? Because since we had implementation of points, I know that, as you said, they change the rules quite often. And I know that in
Yes.
August we are having few changes. So what is coming up?
So the changes in August are going to affect several areas. I mean, we've already talked about the effect it's having on master's students, for example, who qualify and get the 6 points. There are two other major pathways that are being opened up in August. One is what's called the trades and technical pathway, and that is for people who hold a level four or higher technical qualification and have been paid at a certain minimum rate of pay, and there are varying rates of pay that apply. I'll come back to that. And the other is the work experience pathway, once again, really targeted at tradespeople, where they have had 5 years of work experience and then they've been paid at least 1.1 times the median wage in New Zealand for the last 2 years. The interesting thing about these visa categories, and still we still don't know the detail because we're only working on press releases at the moment, is that they have what I call look-back windows. So in the look-back window, you need to look back from the day you intend to file your application and make sure that you satisfy the median wage requirement 2 years prior, if that's the relevant time period that's specified in the immigration instructions, and you've got about a 6 month window to do that. So if you imagine filing a visa application on the 31st of August this year, then you've got to look back to the 31st of August 2024, and you must have been earning the relevant median wage at that time between the 28th of February 2024 and the 31st of August 2024. You can see enormous complications in that and enormous difficulty for people figuring out whether they qualify or not. And, I'm not sure what the final immigration instructions will say on this. I know that in my role as New Zealand Association for Migration and Investment, we've been encouraging the government to simplify this because we can see lots of people saying, good, I now qualify for residence. And then they file an application, they pay Immigration New Zealand over $6,000 for the application fee, and they get declined because they fall outside their look-back window by 1 or 2 weeks. And this is going to cause a lot of hardship and a lot of upset. So we're encouraging the government to try and simplify this. Whether they've listened to us or not, I have no idea. For the time being, we've got to work on the basis of the press releases, which assume that's not the case. So what I would say to anyone who listens to this communication, who is in a trade or technical role, I would say do not apply for a resident visa unless you get your eligibility carefully assessed by a licensed immigration advisor or an immigration lawyer first, because there is a possibility you might think you're eligible, but you might waste a lot of money and have nothing to show for it.
Oh my God, I can imagine the nightmare. I think they also added what, beauticians and hairdressers or something like that, or am I
No,
wrong?
well, they've put certain occupations, and beauticians and hairdressers are examples on what's called the red list. So if you're on the red list, and that's ne red's never a good color to be on, what that means is that you have to earn, I think it's 1.5 times the median wage. Don't hold me to that because I'd have to check that detail. So the requirements, the level of pay you have to have received have to be absolutely extraordinary. And once again, you have to have earned that in the past. So this is not something you can rectify just before you do the application, unless you have the advantage of having a time machine, because you just can't go back and change it.
And To be honest, it's really hard for a hairdresser to earn that much, isn't
Of
it?
course. And there's a reason for that. The policy, from the government's point of view, they are looking for people with high levels of skills. So they do want people who are, for example, electricians or plumbers or gas fitters. They want them to be able to qualify under the trades pathways. They're not so keen on people who are hairdressers and beauticians because they see that as a more generic skill that New Zealanders can be easily trained to fill. And obviously, while unemployment in New Zealand is high, they want to make sure that Kiwis are actually staying in study and learning those skills to fill those roles.
Mas nada como uma cabeleireira brasileira, né, Maia?
Pois é. Aliás, Belzinha, um grande abraço para você.
Yes.
Saudade, eu estou
Seu
precisando dar um
amigo.
jeito meu.
I also go to a Brazilian client, a former client of mine. She's now a resident, to get my hair cut. Not that that's so important for guys.
Eu não vivo sem a Bel, pelo menos, graças a Deus que ela já é residente.
Amém. Amém. Stephen, I think I would like to bring a case here just because it's very close to my heart as well. And I think for, although our audience is mostly for people who are planning to come to New Zealand, but I know that some people are already in New Zealand.
Yes.
One situation that we face, the fact that sometimes when you get the residence visa, but then you split, the couple split. And
Yes.
you try to apply for the permanent residence visa, and you have to present a few documents, and one of them is related to the parenting order, isn't it?
Yeah. So any situation that involves children is always complex. And the reason for that is that New Zealand is a signatory to the Convention on the Hague on the Protection of Children. And so we have certain international obligations as a result of that. So, and the level of proof differs from a temporary visa to that of a resident visa. So, for example, for a temporary visa, if you have a parent here in New Zealand with a child, and that child, the other parent is overseas, say in Brazil, all they need is a letter from the parent who's overseas to say, I consent to my child being in New Zealand with the mother or the father. When it goes to residence, you need to have legal custody. And it's when the custody area that things do get complicated. Sometimes people have, situations where they think they have custody, but under the law of the country from which the child is born in, or the country of origin, they don't actually have full legal custody. And so you do ultimately need to have a document that's certified by a court, either in your home country or in New Zealand, that says you have legal custody of the child. And the other parent needs to have effectively relinquished that right. And the test is that you, as the resident parent, have to have the right of removal of the child from their home country. And that's a legal test. So it's a complex area. And if you're in a situation where you do have children, any minor under the age of 16 as a child, as far as the immigration constructions are concerned, then you must get advice before you go down the pathway for residency or permanent residency. Once you become a resident, people assume that permanent residency is automatic. Not necessarily the case. If a couple have split, then obviously either both parents need to be in the country, so there's no issue about removal or visitation rights, or alternatively, one of the parent, the resident parent, needs to have a court, family court document that says they do have legal custody and the right to remove the child.
Yeah, it's not only what is written in a passport, right? Saying that the
No.
child can travel by themselves.
Yeah, and in fact, Brazilian passports quite often have that stamped in them. It's one of the few countries in the world that does that. No, that doesn't provide any benefits whatsoever when it comes to residency. It will be satisfactory for a temporary visa, but not for a resident visa.
O que que você tem ouvido, né, das pessoas, da comunidade, com relação à imigração, a vistos, a pessoas que eu acredito que deva ter um índice bastante grande de visto recusado. Como é que está isso na comunidade brasileira, você sabe?
Olha, eu acho que o que tem acontecido ultimamente é das pessoas ainda virem no visto de turista, na cara e na coragem, e tentar achar um emprego aqui. Por mais que a gente fale assim, gente, isso é muito arriscado, o mercado de trabalho não está favorável, a galera vem.
Tá,
Então.
mas eu estou dizendo assim, você tem ouvido, por exemplo, que como o Steve falou, né, um dos vistos mais difíceis no momento é um visto de estudante para estudar inglês, não? É bem complicado. Então, as escolas, eu vejo que as instituições, mesmo as instituições mais tradicionais, inclusive a Language International, está tendo visto negado, gente. Como é que pode um negócio desse? De um lado, a imigração fala que quer crescer X%, não, dobrar o número de estudantes internacionais. Tem universidades struggling, como a Lincoln, que anunciou recentemente que vai demitir 40 funcionários, né, porque precisa de mais estudantes. Então, e aí, em contrapartida, a gente faz um excelente trabalho, né, de promover a Nova Zelândia como destino educacional, um dos melhores países do mundo. E aí a imigração faz tudo tão difícil, né, faz a vida tão difícil para a gente, né? Uma coisa que a gente tem lutado muito, e o Steve em particular, né, por ele ser membro daquela associação de investimento, Migration and Investment Association. Mas eu fico curiosa, porque eu tenho ouvido com bastante frequência, né, das instituições com as quais eu trabalho, da insatisfação deles, né, com tanto de visto negado. Então, eu imagino que se a gente, né, sem falsa modéstia, fazendo o trabalho que a gente faz, encontra dificuldades, às vezes, eu imagino esse pessoal que aplica com o despachante ou com aquele agente que só faz coisa errada. Imagino como é que deve estar por aí. Deve estar um caos.
Opa, como ainda tem mais papo, a gente vai interrompendo por aqui de novo. Eu sei, caramba, né? Tá ficando extenso, mas enfim. Espero que você esteja gostando. E se você acha que eu
Alguma
esqueci
coisa
alguma pergunta, algum tema, me manda mensagem. Ou se você quer contar sua experiência de vida, seu projeto, vender seu peixe,
que
você está aqui na
só
Nova Zelândia,
Deus aí
entre em contato comigo.
piranga
Quero Brasil,
e
Brasil com
dação
Z, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, como você quiser.
é
Que eu vou ter o
que
maior prazer em dar a voz à
tem
comunidade
pra
brasileira, meus amigos da comunidade
mim
brasileira, aonde quer que esteja no mundo. E como sempre, eu não posso deixar de agradecer a
da
Free
boca
FM, Vox
poesia
Brasil e
concreta
todas as
do
rádios
Brasil
afiliadas que estão retransmitindo o
da
Quero
vida
Brasil,
brilhante
assim como
que
Kevin
afeta
MacLeod pela trilha
tuas
sonora de Quero Brasil, Bossa Antigua. A todos vocês, meus queridos ouvintes, espectadores, um grandíssimo abraço,
ainda
Kia
não
Kaha e
havia
Kaki te
parado
anō!
em Rita Lee.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.